Would you turn with me, please, first of all, to the book of Genesis and chapter 12. The book of Genesis and chapter 12. Verse 10. Genesis 12 and verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. The book of Numbers, please. Chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. In Numbers 6 we have the words relative to the Nazarite. Verse 6, all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and to make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hollow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Chapter 9. The children of Israel are desiring to keep the Passover. But verse 6, there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you, of your posterity, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The book of Jonah, please. I notice when my dear brother, he spoke about the book of Haggai, somebody else just like me took a look at the front of the Bible just to make sure we got to the right place and found Haggai in time before he finished reading it. So you might have to do the same with Jonah too. Chapter 3, please, and verse 1. At least it's safe if you look at the beginning and find it, isn't it? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, please. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Into the New Testament, the Gospel of John and chapter 21. I may have a few readings, but I just want to bring one or two brief thoughts before you and trust that they might be a blessing to each one today. The Gospel of John and chapter 21. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. You remember verse 16, the same words, but feed my sheep. And again verse 17, the same words, but feed my sheep. The second book of Corinthians, please, and chapter 2. The second book of Corinthians and chapter 2. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is his punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrawise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye are obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it, in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And just one final reading in the second book of Timothy and chapter 4. Verse 11. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And may the Lord grant his blessing to the reading of his precious word once again today. Our dear brother has been bringing before us the time when the nation of Israel were restored and recovered back to the land. It certainly was, child of God, a delight to the heart of God to see those that were exercised to come back out of Babylon and to seek to restore things again for God. I love to look again at the list of the names of the people that were restored. God brings them before us, both in the book of Nehemiah and in the book of Ezra. They meant much to God. People that were prepared to take up the things of God again for himself. And God says, I want all succeeding generations to know the names of these men. They may not have been more spiritual than the Daniels and the rest that were left behind. They may not have had greater exercise, but they were doing something for God, and God delighted in it. What I want us to do very, very simply today, dear child of God, is just to see that we have a God of recovery. And there may be saints today, and perhaps something has come into your life to spoil that life of yours. But what I discovered in the Bible is that we have a God of recovery. It really came as I was reading the book of Jonah, and those lovely words that we read at the outset of Jonah chapter 3, that the Lord appeared unto Jonah a second time. A second time. Perhaps there's a child of God today, and things have come in, and they've taken you away from the things of the Lord. There may be a backslider in our room today. There may be someone that's not enjoying the things of God as they ought to do. And by the way, someone has said at home that not all backsliders are out of the meeting. Sometimes backsliders are in the meetings. And there may be someone, and really, in heart, things have come in and got you away from God. All I want you to know today, child of God, is that we've a God of recovery, with the God of the second chance. I would the brethren had hearkened to it too. because I've noticed from time to time that when certain brethren have failed for various reasons, or sisters have failed, tragically, there's no desire to see that soul recovered. And sometimes the very brethren themselves are the instrument in the hand, in the hand of the devil, I might say, in keeping those saints of God from being recovered. It's a pleasure to my heart to find, child of God, that we have got a God of recovery. We've got a God of the second chance. I was just enumerating a few of these, and I just want to leave them with you simply. My mind went to Abraham, you see, because here we find the God of recovery. You remember the verses that we read together, don't you? There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Child of God, he shouldn't have gone down into Egypt. The previous verses tell us that when the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, it says there he builded an altar, and there he pitched his tent. As an altar, he becomes a worshipper. With his tent, he becomes a pilgrim. He's come into the land of promise. And though God has not taken him yet to the mount to the mount and shown him the land to the north, the south, the east, the west, and said, all this will I give thee. At the same time, child of God, he's come into the land. And having built his altar and having pitched his tent, you'll notice the altar came before the tent. They're very simple things. The things of God meant more than the things of the home. And the things of the home were linked very closely with the things of God. It's always a blessed thing when every man establishes, first of all, the things of God prominently in his life. And then establishes his home in connection with the things of God. And it's a good thing, child of God, to have the altar, as well as to have the tent. But to see that the tent is never far away from the altar. The old brethren years ago, they used to tell the saints of God to pitch the tent near the tabernacle. For when that tabernacle was built, as the children of Israel were journeying towards the promised land, God set them round about that tabernacle, and they weren't very far from it. When they opened the tent doors, they would be able to see it. It became the very center of the life. It became everything to them. Perhaps there's a wee hint of that with Abraham. When the Bible tells us he builded his altar, there was worship Godward, he pitched his tent. He's outside this world now. He's walking with God. But child of God, if he's taking up pilgrim character, what we do discover is in connection with the altar. But then when we come down to verse 10, a famine's come in. Do I think here, perhaps the spirit of distrust had come? For it says a famine came in the land. Remember yesterday we were looking at Elimelech in the book of Ruth a little? The overruling hand of God to see this wee girl, that she should be brought into the things of the good of the Lord. But here, child of God, because of the famine, it says, Abraham went down to Egypt. What a tragedy. I notice that Joseph's brought there. I notice that Moses is sent there. But the tragedy with Abraham is, he went there. If God overrules in circumstances to bring us there, it can be for the blessing of that people. If God overrules in circumstances and sends us there, it's with a purpose to deliver his people. But when Abraham went there, child of God, no altar, no tent. The circumstances of the famine, when the dearth has come in, and things don't seem to be what they ought to be, he's getting away from the place of the altar, he's getting away from the tent, he's going down to the world. And what I discover with Abraham, sadly, whilst he's down there, I discover in verse 16 that it says, sorry, when he's coming out, it says he came out with men servants and maid servants, amongst them a Hagar. And the effect of that link with Egypt is still being seen today, with the offspring of an Hagar.
And if we were to go on in Abraham's history, when he went down, he took Lot down with him. You know where he ended, don't you? Is there someone today? And tragically, the things of God to you are not what they ought to be. A famine's come in. And sadly, your feet have gone down towards the world. And you've lost the altar. And you've lost the tent. Perhaps you've picked up things that are going to have catastrophic effects upon you and upon your kith and kin. For there's many a mother and many a father, because they've not put the things of God first, sadly, they've placed into their children the things of the world, and they've lost them. Abraham was going to feel the effects of it later with a Lot. Aye, and he's going to have to start to take up the weapons that our brother brought before us to seek to recover him again. We're not going to go into that. I'm glad of this, child of God. But he left the altar, and he left the tent, and he got himself linked with the world. I'm glad of this. There's a God of recovery. And I'm glad when we come to chapter 13, there's an Abraham that comes back. Will you see where he came back to? Child of God, he came back to the very place where he first went wrong. The Bible tells us in chapter 14 that he came back to where he, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Bethel, we all know, don't we, that names, they do have spiritual significance. Bethel is the house of God. Hai, a heap of ruins. And here was a man that could see the heap of the ruins of the world, the house of God. And he's leaving that behind, that he's going to link himself with the house of God. But when he's going to get recovered, child of God, he's got to go back to the place where he went from in the first place. Is there someone got away? I'm glad you're here today. And I'm glad you're in the good of divine things at the moment. I hope, child of God, it's not just a passing whim. Many years ago in the northeast of England, I was having gospel meetings, and a sister came to me. I'd made an announcement that if anybody would like me to go and visit people, encourage them to come to the meetings, then I'd gladly go. She came to me and she said, "Mr. Mellish, did you mean what you said?" Well, I usually do now. So this lassie, she said, "Well, I'd like you to go and visit my brother. He doesn't know you're coming, and I can't tell him you're coming, but I'd love you to go and visit him." I said, "My dear, I'll go and visit him. And I'll go and see if I can get him to come to the meetings." Coming to the meetings at that time, there was a lady, I called her the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Because when I was driving to the meetings for children's meetings before the gospel meetings, they make you work in England, you see. You have to have children's meetings before gospel meetings, and you're bow-legged by the time you're finished. And knocking at the knees, I think. But as I was driving to the meeting, I used to see this lady walking towards the meeting, and she'd have a stream of children following her from the estate where she lived. I'd only heard about this man. He was stopping his wife coming to the meetings from time to time, stopping the children coming to the meetings. They were going off hiking into the Yorkshire Hills. Now, if you like a good holiday, you come over and go to the Yorkshire Hills. Let me tell you, they're lovely places to go hiking in. But when a man that made profession of faith in Christ has got out into Egypt, and he's starting to hinder his wife and hinder his wee children. He could have lost those girls, you know. And stopping them from the things of God. I want to tell you, that's a very serious business. He'd lost all interest in the things of the Lord. I made a visit to his house the next day after this last year had asked me. And who should open the door but the Pied Piper of Hamelin? I was rather surprised to find that she was the woman that this man was trying to keep from the things of God. And two beautiful little daughters. Girls, young teenagers. The big man, he came up behind his wife as I knocked at the door. And I simply said, I said, my dear, I didn't know you lived here. But I haven't come to see you. I said, sir, I've come to see you. You are a disgrace. I've heard about you. This wife of yours is trying to get your children to heaven and to glory. She's trying to get the children of the district there. And all I hear about you is that you're getting them away from the things of God. It's about time you repented, sir, and it's about time you're in the meetings. You wouldn't believe it. He came to them. I thought he might have taken my head off, you know, but he didn't. And as he sat in the meeting that night, as he was going out, I shook his hand. And I said to him, I'm glad to see you. I said, but you just remember, one sun doesn't make a summer. I came here to get a bit of sun. I don't know what's the matter with you folks here just now. It only rains in Manchester, I thought, but here we are. One sun doesn't make a summer, sir. I'm expecting to see you tomorrow. Is there somebody here? And you've got away from God. Listen, friend, it's time you started to give serious, earnest thought to getting back with God again. And one sun doesn't make a summer. This is not going to transform your life. You're going to have to start to put things right to get right with God. And to get recovered to the things of God. Has there been a famine? Has the world ensnared you? Perhaps like Abraham, you're coming back with gold and riches, and you're in the meeting tonight, today. But unfortunately, repercussions have come that could affect your family. It's time you got back to the altar, and it's time you got back to the tent, and it's time you got back to being a worshipper, and it's time you got back to being a pilgrim. Bless God, there's a God of recovery. He'll bring you. Want to tell you, that man today is an elder in God's assembly, and his daughters are saved and going on well in the things of the Lord. Bless God, there's a God of recovery. Do you know what he said to me? He said, Norman, before you came and challenged me, he said, what took me into the world was, I always had one foot in the world and one foot in the assembly. And sadly the world won. And one of the troubles with the saints of God that get away is, they think they can put one foot in the world and one foot in the assembly. Child of God, the world will always win. You get back to God again. And if there's anybody here in danger with one foot in the world, get them feet out and get them right into God's assembly and go on with the things of God. Let's go to the Nazarite, please, of the book of Numbers and chapter 6. The Nazarite was a man, a devoted man. I love the Nazarite. I would, child of God, I could be like him. In the book of Numbers chapter 6, we have the history of a Nazarite. Verse 1 or verse 2, it says, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Do you know who a Nazarite was? A Nazarite was somebody that was prepared to go a little further for God. That's a Nazarite. The word Nazarite itself just simply means to separate. In fact, if I was to read verse 2 again, I could say, if either man or woman shall Nazarite themselves, to vow a vow of separation, to Nazarite them, it's just the same word. Who was this Nazarite? Ah, he was somebody redeemed. He was under the blood. He was someone that had come out of Egypt. He was someone that had passed through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is baptism. He was someone who was linked with that gathering center, that tabernacle. He was somebody that was moving towards the better land. He was one of God's children. But out of deep appreciation for the things of God, here's someone that's going to say, I'm going to go a little bit further than the rest. And I'm going to give God a little bit more than the other. I'm going to vow a vow of separation. Oh, but you're already a separate man. You're already out of Egypt. You're already baptized. You're already linked with the gathering center.
Oh, that's not enough. God wants more than the externals. And here's a man that could see that God wanted the heart, and he's prepared to go a little further. Do you know what he's prepared to go a little further in? He's prepared to go a little further with his appetite. You'll find that in verses 3 and 4. I'm not going to touch it now. He's prepared to go a little bit further in his appearance. Verse 5. The Bible says that he will let the locks of the hair of his head grow. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I don't have long hair. I didn't have it before I got saved. The Bible teaches us that God puts that into us instinctively. And before I got saved, I went to the barbers because I didn't want to bear the shame. And just as God instinctively puts into the woman, it's a glory to have long hair, so he puts into the man, it's a shame to have long hair. Ah, but this man's prepared to bear shame and reproach as he's prepared to go that little bit further. But I want to tell you, anyone that's prepared to go further for God, he's going to have to bear shame and he's going to have to bear reproach. And sometimes the reproach will come from those that you would least expect it. But let a man stand for God and to go that little bit further for God. And child of God, you'll find this, that there will be a shame associated with it. Too legal, you know, too tight. Going a little bit too far. You don't need to go that far. Ah, well, here's a man that appreciated God wanted everything. And he's going to go every way. But look now. His associations. All the days of his separation, verse 6, he shall come at no dead body. But you see what we read? When you come down to verse 9, inadvertently, unexpectedly, something came in to defile him. Something came in to break his devotion, to spoil him. The Bible tells me, if any man die very suddenly by him, he didn't expect it. Is he the man here of Galatians chapter 6, when the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault? He didn't set his course to go out to sin. He hadn't deliberately defied God and his word. Folks tell me that when I'm in the car, I'm never overtaken, you know. I don't know. I'm slowing down a wee bit. Don't expect to get overtaken. The man of Galatians 6, he didn't expect to get overtaken. And this man here, something's come in, but child of God, his devotion has been spoilt by it. He didn't expect it. He didn't look for it. He didn't put himself deliberately in the path of it. But suddenly, he's become defiled. Is there hope? Oh, I love these verses. For these verses go on to tell us, child of God, the God of recovery. And we discover how that, I'm not going to go into the details, but on the eighth day, he's going to bring his turtles, his young pigeons. Perhaps there's someone today. And perhaps, child of God, there was devotion. And really the heart was all for God. Something came in. You didn't plan it. You didn't expect it. There's an eighth day. The eighth day is the day of new things, isn't it? It's the day of resurrection. It's the day of recovery, child of God. And God wants you restored again. There's an eighth day. And bless God, there's an offering you can bring. And the same Christ that separated you from God is the same Christ that can restore you spiritually. Now, it is a fact, sadly, that those days that have gone before, wherein that inadvertent failure came in, sadly they'll be lost. But bless God, you can start again. There's a God, child of God, that delights in recovery. And it doesn't matter whether it was distrust because a famine came, whether devotion has been lost, you can start again. God wants you recovered for himself. Chapter 9, very simply. I'm going to have to be very simple with these now. The children of Israel, the desire of their heart is to keep the Passover.
You remember that with the Passover, it had to be kept on the 14th day of the first month. But there had to be a right condition to keep the Passover. And here we discover that there are certain men that come to Moses and they say in verse 6, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Child of God, we discovered in chapter 6 that death can hinder our devotion. Now, death can hinder our remembrance. And here, death has come in. What is death, by the way? What does it symbolize? You remember where you were before you got saved? The book of Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I believe that the spirit of death, it brings before us the condition of life that was mine before I got saved. And perhaps, child of God, I've got linked with it again. It's going to hinder these men from keeping the fellowship with God for remembering the great and mighty work that God had wrought for them in the Passover. Will you see again in verse 9? I just touch it now. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, death and distance. And some of us linked with the world again from which we're saved, and some in heart that have got away. Child of God, is there hope that we can be brought back to enjoy the things of God again? Ah, bless God. God's going to make provision. For God wants the saints of God restored. God wants us, child of God, enjoying the things of the Lord. Is there someone here today? And things have come in. What's brought you back? Has God got something for you? Is he reminding you of those people that came back from Babylon, lost there for many a year, but all coming back to come into the good things of God and give something to God again? And child of God, is there someone here? And you've got linked with the world again. You've got linked with that old state of things again. You're at a distance from God. You've lost the devotion. There's recovery. Take a look at Jonah for a moment. You remember, don't you? He's the servant of God. He's the preacher now. And sadly, why he got away was just rank disobedience. Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish. He got away from God. Child of God, it was just disobedience that got him away. I wonder if there's somebody here today, and maybe someone that stood for God and had the privilege and honor of handling holy things for God, but disobedience has taken you away. And let me tell you, maybe you've got into some strange fish or other too. Well, it's strange how some of God's servants get into some strange fishes, isn't it? And maybe there's a strange fish swallowed you up today. A system that really you're not really, shouldn't never be linked with and never be associated with. Could somebody get down before God like Jonah did? But in that place, we discover this, that it was there that Jonah started to call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm glad that God didn't finish with his servant. I'm glad the Bible says, the word of the Lord appeared to Jonah a second time. Child of God, we have the God of recovery. We've got the God of the second chance. In fact, I might go a little bit further than the second chance too. But I'm thinking of Peter's words, you know. I tell you, God's not less than what he wanted Peter to be. How often should I forgive my brother? Unto 7 times? Oh, unto 70 times 7, child of God. God's not less than what he desired for us. He's the God of recovery. He's no austere God that's going to hold everything against you forever. Child of God, God wants you back again. And he wants you enjoying divine and holy things. You can't enjoy them where you are. God's going to make provision for you to be restored and for you to be recovered. He wants your devotion recovered. If death and distance has come in, he wants you to be brought back into the good of divine things. If disobedience has marked you, denial like Peter. You remember? And it was at a world's fire. He got too close to the world's fire. And a little maid's voice. The Lord's going to kindle a fire too. The Lord's going to seek the restoration of his servant. For our God's the God of the second chance. Do you remember Mark? He was the man that went with Paul on his missionary journeys. We have a little expression at home. If somebody isn't wanted in the business, in the firm, they give them the card, you know, give them the sack. We have the stamp a wee card, and it's a... I suppose another tax, written love taxes, you see. And for every week that you're employed, you put a wee stamp on your card. But if you don't want anybody, give him his cards. Don't bite you, sir. Away you go. One day the day dawned when Paul gave Mark his cards. He hadn't been faithful. Well, I don't really been faithful, but I shouldn't really say that, I suppose. But he certainly proved weakness, child of God. Paul didn't want him. Finished. A young man done. And he'll never lift his head again, and he'll never raise his voice to speak again in God's assembly. He'll never be a help in the work of God again. Now, would you just read his lovely gospel, won't you? The failing servant that wrote about the unfailing servant. And read the lovely words that we discover Paul writes, bring Mark. Paul didn't hold it against him forever. Maybe they'd pushed him a little bit too early now. And maybe they'd expected too much of him when he was early. But in these latter years, that young man had learned from his experiences. And that young man was developing. And they weren't going to keep him down forever. Brethren, remember it, won't you? And encourage young men, even if they might have failed in an earlier day. Encourage them. If he might get on in the things of God, bring him, he's profitable to the ministry. A man recovered, the God of a second chance. Then, of course, it's not only devotion, death, distance, disobedience, denial, departure. There was the defilement of the man that we looked at again yesterday in Corinthians 5 that had his father's wife. As we saw then, still his father's wife. But things had been put right. The relationship had been broken. The man became overwhelmed with grief as he recognized the sin that he'd sinned against God. In 1 Corinthians, they weren't prepared to put him out because of his sin. The tragedy in 2 Corinthians, child of God, is they weren't prepared to bring him back when he was repentant of his sin. But we've a God of a second chance. I'm thinking of a brother up in Scotland just now. I was walking through some gates into a cemetery, and I saw this certain brother walking just before me, and I turned to another man, and I said, I couldn't remember his name, I can't remember anybody's name, but brother so-and-so, is he in the meeting? Him? Never, never! He committed adultery. He'll never be back. That's where they're keeping him too, you know. I was up there for gospel meetings recently. He was in every meeting. And an interest in the things of God. Child of God, there had been failure years ago. There should be ground for recovery if there's repentance. This man was overwhelmed with grief as he recognized the folly of his actions and the sin that he committed. Here was a man overwhelmed with his grief. He put the matters right. The relationship had ceased. He's now going on with God, or wants to go on with God, The brethren at first weren't prepared to bring him back. Paul's desire is that he should be brought in. Let me tell you, child of God, there's recovery with God. There may be someone today, I don't know, different things could have come in that have caused you to fail. Bless God, you're here today. And if you're a backslider, let me tell you, God's very, very interested in your recovery. If things have happened to hinder your ministry, God's interested in your recovery. We've the God of the second chance. We've a God of recovery.